So we're going to do a little bit of review. I felt like last week we started to get into it, but there was a lot of some things in the Word of God that I wasn't able to point out that I want to point out to you, and we're gonna look at it today. So last week we were talking about drawing close to God. How many know we can draw close to God? But how many know we can also drift away from God? You ever known anyone and they were on fire for Jesus, but in a course of time, because of different things, they started to drift away from God? And what I want to show you in the Word is that God is the one who blesses us. And I want to say this emphatically, that as we draw close to God, the more we draw close to God, the better our life will be. Absolutely, it's so true. Why? Because God is the one who is the blesser, and the closer we get to the blesser, the closer we will have joy, peace, comfort, you know what, just a understanding of what we're called to do. Where does that happen? That happens as we draw close to God. Now, and as we get more away from God, we start to, and here was my first point last week, we're doing some review, but how many know repetition is the mode of learning? Yeah. The farther away we get from God, we said my first point last week, that we are not just drawing away from God, but when we draw away from God, we are drifting towards frustration, bitterness, unforgiveness. Hello? Impoverishment, sickness, disease. How many know Jesus is the healer? He is the blesser. And so the more we draw away from God, the more we drift away from God, we are drifting away from the one who blesses us. We're not just drifting towards nothingness. And remember, we learned that Satan, how many know God is real? How many know we have an enemy that's real too? Let me tell you what, the spiritual realm is the most real realm. It's the most real realm. And so you start to drift away from God and you're drifting towards the realm that you don't want to be part of. But Satan won't tell you. Guys in the back, go to John 10:10. John 10:10. Okay. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. God says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life. How are you going to have an abundant life? Not coincidental, but on purpose. You have to draw close to God. And he is the one. This is, how many believe Jesus? Jesus is the one, and he wants to make sure, because here's what happens. People, you know what, don't understand who the blesser is. God's the blesser. And they think they can just drift from God and get farther and farther away from God, and that your life is going to be okay because, you know what, it's all good. It's not all good. Somebody say it's not all good. And as we're drifting away from God, understand that Satan is not the one. What does Satan come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he doing? He's not going to tell you the truth. That's what he did to Eve. Remember we looked at last week in Genesis? Her first thing he wants to know is, do you know the word? The reason I want you to read your Bible every day, just one chapter. Say everybody say one chapter. Just one chapter a day. Just one chapter a day. What chapter should I read? Go out to the information table as soon as we dismiss and get a Bible sheet. And we will read one chapter together. You say, but Pastor, I don't understand the Bible. Well, I know that. But the reason why you don't understand the Bible is the same reason when I was a freshman at that strong academic structure, Pioneer High School, that I went to, okay? You know what? The reason is the same reason When I was a freshman, I opened up my algebra book and I didn't understand any of it. Amen? Why? Because I wasn't acclimated to it. Listen to me. It's not that you're not smart. It's not that you can't understand the Bible. And I remember when I was a freshman, I was intimidated by the first chapter. But then I looked. You know what I mean? You get a book. Oh, I'm gonna look at this. And I looked at, you know what, the third chapter and the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter and the sixth chapter. And I'm like, you know what, X over Y to the, you know what, half pike flip. I couldn't understand any of it. Why? Well, of course I didn't. So here's what I did. Every day I went up to the teacher and said, I'm not doing my homework because I don't understand any of this. And he said, that's okay, Drew. You're just too dumb to understand any of this. And don't worry about it because you just can't understand it. I mean, no, he didn't say that to me. No, of course I didn't understand it. Because you know what? Because I hadn't acclimated myself to it. Can I tell you what? If you're born again, the Spirit lives inside of you. Listen to me. The same Spirit that wrote the Bible lives inside of you. And if you would just avail yourself to opening yourself. How many know everything you have to do is by faith? The Bible says you can't please God without faith. So tomorrow, today, get a sheet, open it up, and by faith, you know what? Read the chapter. And here's what I'm telling you. I can guarantee you there'll be something in that chapter that you'll understand. And the Holy Spirit will say, that's for you, Bucky. How many does the Holy Spirit call Bucky? He calls me Bucky sometimes. That's for you, Bucky. Amen? Right? But here's what's going to happen. And then you're going to read the chapter the next day. And then you're going to read a chapter the next day. And that foolishness that has come out of your mouth that you can't understand the Word of God is going to be flushed. See, Satan comes to steal and destroy. The Word of God is what's going to bless you. Amen? And so he wants to make sure you're not reading the Bible, amen? Not coming to church, not listening to the word. Why? Because he hates you. Why? Because you were born in the image of God. Is that not right? I'm telling you what, you are an incredible threat to his kingdom. Amen? Amen. So he wants to keep the one thing that's going to be a blessing to you, he wants to keep from you. So all you have to do is just, you know what, draw close to God. How do you draw close to God? Just open up the Word of God. Start reading His Bible every day. Just what, 88 chapters? No. I'm gonna read the Bible, the whole Bible this year. Hey, do me a favor. Could you run a mile before you run a marathon? Could you do that? That would be smart, right? Can we just read a chapter a day? And here's why I think a chapter a day is so powerful. Because, you know what, if you read a chapter today, I've sometimes made a commitment, I'm going to read so much, and I read it late at night, and guess what? I read it, but I don't remember anything I read. How about us just read a chapter, same chapter, in the morning, at lunch, and at nighttime before we go to bed? Man, and I'll tell you what will happen. God will speak to you. And that lie that you can't understand the Bible, you'll also understand. I don't understand all the Bible, but every day I'm understanding more and more and more of the Bible. Why? What are you doing? You're getting close to God. Go back to John 10:10, guys in the back. Okay. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. God wants to bless you. As you draw close to God, you're going to be blessed. Now, we learned last week, to draw close to God, you have to do it on purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to be on purpose. Okay. I'm so proud of you guys. Here's why. Because you were on purpose. You came to church. Amen? How many know the Uber guy didn't come by your house, come into your bedroom, pick you up, throw you in, drive you here, and then throw you out? Man, what happened? I was sleeping, all of a sudden I'm at church. No, that's not what happened. What happened is you made a decision to be at church. Does that make sense? And let me tell you what, you're going to be blessed because you're going to learn something today. And you're going to walk out and you're going to think, man, I'm so glad. Listen, and let me just tell you right up front. I got both barrels for you today. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, both barrels today. Okay. Hey, how many have gone to these Grey Poupon, skinny jeans places, you know what I mean? And you go and you're like, order something, and they give you like a little, they give you a little scoop of that and a little bit of this, and it's like, hey, is this the hors d'oeuvres or something? When does the meal come? Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? One of the reasons I like Claim Jumper. You know why I like Claim Jumper? Because, man, they got a big old plate. You know what I mean? How many ever been to Claim Jumper? I like Claim Jumper because they give you some food. Amen? Okay. How many know you're going to get some food today? Amen? All right. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get some food today. So you know what? So Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give us life and life more abundantly. God is the one who blesses us, and he wants to, but we're blessed as we draw close to God. Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the way he does that, he can't take anything from you except that he deceives you. He's got to get you to believe it. Why? Because the power, according to the Old Testament, belongs to the sons of men. The power on this earth, the Bible says, belongs to the sons of men. How many have a daddy? Okay. Let me try that again. How many have a daddy? Okay. Y'all have a daddy? The power on this earth belongs to you. How many have a tongue? Raise your hand if you have a tongue. Okay. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You got a daddy and you got a tongue. The power on this earth has been given to you. So how does Satan come in? Here's how he comes in: to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? Here's how he does that. He's got to deceive you and to get you thinking the wrong things. That's how he stole from Eve. Eve's in paradise. She got it all. She's completely blessed. But he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what does he do? He sees if she knows the word of God. She knew a little of the word of God. She said, no, I'm not supposed to eat of this. You know what? All the trees we can eat. All the trees we can eat. We can go over here and over there and over here and over there. But there's one tree that we're told not to eat. And that's the one he says, that's where you ought to eat. And she believed him. Here's the deception. Here's my message. My message is that don't be fooled to think that you can be disobedient to God and you're going to be okay. That's my message. All right. In Jesus' name, go home now. No, I'm not done yet. But that is my message. That's my message. You cannot. Don't be deceived. You cannot. She was completely deceived because she thought that she could eat of the fruit and there would be no ramifications. That's what Satan said. He said, no, that's not going to happen. You can eat and you won't die. And that's exactly what happened. She ate and she was separated from God, spiritual death, and that was the time that the aging process started in Adam and Eve. Boom. And you say, yeah, but that's not what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. If you're in Academy of Righteousness, you know this. The Greek word is muth. And it meant die. You're going to die spiritually and you're going to die physically. And she was separated from God. She died spiritually. And then she started, the aging process started, and she died physically. Are you catching this? Why? Here's why. Because she thought what many people think today, that they can do whatever they want and it doesn't make any difference. You can go to church when you want. You can give when you want. You cannot give when you want. You can forgive when you want. You cannot forgive when you want. It doesn't make any difference. God loves us all. We can do whatever we want. It's all good. And that lie is coming to the body of Christ. Amen. I'm going to talk about two things particularly today. Two things. And they're whoppers. Look at your neighbor, say they're whoppers. One, selfishness in the body of Christ that is depicted in us not being tithers and not being givers. Look at your neighbor and say, I think you came the right day. Okay. And number two, you know what? Pastor George, this is good, huh? And number two, dishonor. Dishonor towards people who God has placed in authority over you. And we think that we can give when we want to give, talk trash all the way home, gossip all the way home in the car about what was wrong with church and, you know what, what Tamara was wearing and, you know what, and amen. You say amen to this. And, just on and on and on, and it don't make any difference. And I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and that you'll be receptive to hearing what God has to say. Amen? So, who is the blesser? Somebody tell me who the blesser is. Somebody say, God's the blesser. Okay. The closer we get to God, what's going to happen? The more blessed we're going to get. The farther away we get from God, what's going to happen? The less we're, and are we drifting just to never land? No, we're drifting towards sin, unforgiveness, selfishness, in bitterness, destruction, impoverishment. That's what we're drawing. When we're drawing away from God, that's what we're drawing. Okay, let me show you some passages that we didn't have a chance to get to last week, but these are very, very helpful. The first is in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. We looked a little bit about this last week, but I want to go into it with more depth. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. What's that next word there? Taught you this last week. If we hold fast to the confession of the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Somebody say if. No, Pastor, but I learned that once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't make any difference what you did. You know what? Well, listen, apparently nobody told this to the author of Hebrews. Amen? Because God says in Hebrews that you're in his house if we hold fast to the end. Amen? And this is throughout the Word of God. When the Bible says what he teaches, when Jesus taught, the sower sows the word. He says in that text, he says some received for a time. Everybody say for a time. For a time. Well, I think Jesus doesn't know, but Jesus isn't a Calvinist. Well, then you shouldn't be a Calvinist. Amen. Can you say amen to this? You say, well, what's a Calvinist? A Calvinist believe once you're saved, there's nothing you can do. Well, you know what? Then what are you going to do with this passage? What are you going to do with the passage about what Jesus said? I can go on. There's so many passages that will say this exact same thing. You know, in the 14th chapter, well, we'll get to it. Next verse, look at this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, next verse, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Now, we'll go on. Where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw the works 40 years. What's this talking about? It's talking about when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, they go into all they were supposed to just go from one place to another place, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. They were to go into the promised land, but they started to doubt that God would deliver them. Next verse. Therefore, I was angry with the generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. and they have not known my ways. Next verse. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter into, keep it here, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Here's why. Because they were drawing away from God. Can I tell you what? The best life is the life that you put your trust in God. That's the best life. That's an awesome life. The best life is where you get close to God. Because when you get close to God, you're coming close to the blesser, and you're going to live a life of peace and joy and comfort and tranquility. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And you can go through all kinds of trials, but you know that God is your rest and he's providing you a supernatural peace. What did they do? They as soon as Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, what did they do? They turned around, they took their gold, and they melted it all together, and they're worshiping a golden calf. What are they doing? They are not putting their trust in God. Can I tell you what? In the end, there will be a Antichrist. How many know there will be an Antichrist? But how many know the Bible says there's going to be many Antichrists? And what is an Antichrist? An Antichrist, Christ brings hope, peace, joy, comfort, blessings. An Antichrist is something or somebody that comes as a fake of Christ. For many people, it's their jobs. For many people, it's their spouses. For many people, it's a priest or a pope or a pastor or a church leader or a father or a grandfather. Someone, for many people, it's a house or a job opportunity, and they think that is going to bring them peace and joy and all these things. And God says, listen, I swore in my wrath, you shall not enter my rest. When you put someone as an antichrist above Christ, let me tell you what, you're not going to enter the rest of God. And let me say this, and I don't know who am I speaking to, maybe many people, but for some of you, you've put something before God and you can't understand why your life is so frustrated. You're so frustrated. And you think it's because the circumstances in your life is not filled with peace. Well, let me tell you what. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with no one can replace Jesus Christ. And when you get away from him, you're going to get away from his rest. Remember, you're not just drifting to nowhere, never, neverland. You're drifting towards something. What are you drifting towards? Frustration, embitterment, unforgiveness. Is this making sense? Okay, next verse. Watch this. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in depart. Leave it here. In departing from the living God. Here's what they did. Ultimately, even though they saw that God had delivered them from the Egyptians, the biggest army in the world, delivered them supernaturally, they left with all the gold of Egypt. They left completely healthy, completely rich, completely blessed of God. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the story. Amen. Some people get mad when you tell them God will bless you financially. You want to argue with me? Get your Bible and read it. I'm not saying that finances is the only thing that matters. Because if you think that, you're going to be deceived. I'm just stating a fact. They left with the gold of Egypt. They did. And God wants to bless them, but what happened is they got their eyes on their enemy, and even though God had blessed them with a huge enemy to deliver them, they thought, oh, God did it yesterday, but God can't do it tomorrow. Watch this. A heart of unbelief is an evil heart. I'm going somewhere with this. A heart of unbelief is an evil heart. Do you see this connection? An evil heart of unbelief, an unbelieving heart is an evil heart. See, here's what I want to say. We've got to understand that in our actions are indication of our heart. We need to understand that our actions are indications of what's really going on in our heart. So I had one person tell me one time, Pastor, I want to tithe, but I got this plan. How many know what the problem is? He had a plan, amen? Okay, and here was his plan. He had run a bunch of credit cards up. I know that doesn't apply to anybody here, thank you, God. But he had run his credit cards, a bunch of credit cards up, and he said this to me. He said, I can't afford to tithe, but I'm going to pay off my credit cards. As soon as I pay off my credit cards, I'm going to start tithing. Now, before you say amen, don't say amen to that. Why? Here's why. Because he's revealing his heart of unbelief. I'm just asking, can God get you out of your credit card debt? Come on, I'm asking. Listen, can God get you out of your credit card debt and you become a tither? I didn't hear as much yes on this. But here's what we do. I had another person just recently. They were talking to a financial advisor kind of person. And ironically enough, they were a Christian financial advisor. And you know what this Christian financial advisor told them? Here's what they said. They said, here's what you should do. Get out of debt, and as soon as you, but you can't tithe until you get out of debt. I'm sorry, I missed that in the text. And I'm telling you, that's not how you're going to get out of debt. Here's what I'm telling you. I don't care whether you're $20,000 in debt or $20 in debt. I don't care even if you have no debt. For almost everyone in America, they are living paycheck to paycheck. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just telling you facts. And it probably applies to you. I don't know, and I'm not asking you. I'm just saying for most people, they go from paycheck to paycheck. For almost everyone in this room, there's probably no one in this room, maybe somebody, maybe an unusual someone who's disciplined, but almost nobody in this room have a 10% savings plan. That every week, every month, they save 10%. Almost nobody has that. Which means, for most people, you are spending everything that you make. Does that make sense? So what does it take for you to become a tither? Here's what it takes. Faith. That's God's plan. Here's what the Bible says. You can't please God without faith. That's his plan. And here's what I want to tell you. That a heart of unbelief is an evil heart. See, here's what the Bible says. Beware, because there will be a day when men will call good evil and evil good. No. I heard this from a church, and a well-known church. I was watching it on the internet, and this person said it right from the stage. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a craziness. Now, I'll give you a warning. When I say this, don't say amen. Did you hear my warning? Don't say amen. Here's what they said. They said, God, bless those. This is right before the giving. They said, bless those who give, bless those who don't give, and bless those who can't give. Now, let's break that down. Bless those who give. We could say amen to that, right? But bless those who are spending every penny on themselves. We're going to say bless that? Bless those people who have no spiritual integrity to give to the kingdom of God, that the word could go forth. Bless that. Yuck. And then, more deception, bless those who can't give. Who can't give? Who, am I asking? Who isn't asked to have faith? Because that's what giving the tithe is. It's putting your faith in God. Is there some group that doesn't have to have faith in God? No, you're all called to have faith. That's what an evil heart is. It's an unbelieving heart. And what I said the first service, and I feel inspired to say it again, what we do when pastors are preaching, Pastor George, when pastors are preaching like this, what we want to do oftentimes is we want to say, Pastor, you don't need to talk like this. You need to be quiet because, watch this, all you care about is money. Whoa! Wait a minute. You're not tithing, you're not giving, you're not trusting God at all to come and bring the tithe into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house, and I bring it up, and you're telling me I'm the one who cares about money? I'm just asking, could it be? Tamara, I am smiling, right? Could it be that you're just trying to throw a bunch of smoke in the room to defer? How many know sometimes in arguments, people that you're arguing with, they'll accuse you of things, the very same thing that they're doing. Wow. All you care about is money. Whoa. All I'm telling you is the Israelites who were drawing away from God, drifting away from God, who wouldn't put their trust in God. Let me tell you what God calls that. God calls that an evil heart. And what we want to do is we want to think we're not going to forgive. We're going to spend every penny on ourselves. We're not going to give anything to the kingdom of God. Or if we do, it's not a tithe, it's a little tip. And we're not consistent. And we're going to walk in unforgiveness, selfishness, bitterness, you know what, greed, all this stuff. And we're going to say, no. But it's all good. I'm still going to walk in the blessings of God because I come to church every once in a while. Wow. And I'm here to tell you that we need to start to examine. Here's what I'm here to tell you. That your actions are indication of your heart. And here I'll go, make a step farther. That there is a perversion of grace. Everybody say a perversion of grace. That is being taught in the body of Christ all over the place. And this perversion says that it doesn't make any difference what you do, doesn't make any difference how far you drift away from God. It doesn't make any difference how selfish you are, how embittered you are to your neighbor, you can say whatever you want to say, you can cuss at people, you can have a filthy mouth, you can be perverted, you can do all this stuff, and it's all good. And I'm saying, one of the biggest perversions, according to the Word of God, is for you not to believe that God's going to take care of you. Wow, praise God. Jody, this is good preaching, huh? It's the truth. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, man, Pastor, loving us today. Somebody say, Pastor, don't love us so much, man. You're loving me too much. Okay, well, listen, I've just got started, amen? I said, I just got started. I said, look at your neighbor, say, he's going somewhere. Turn to 2 Peter. We have it up on the screen. This guy's in the back. Go to 2 Peter. Okay, because I'm going to tie these together, okay? I want to talk about you know what? You being obedient to God as he's asking you to be a tither, asking you to be a giver, and I'm asking you to be obedient to God in, watch this, in making sure that no corrupt word proceeds out of your mouth, especially, say especially, to people that God's put in place of authority over you. No, Pastor, it don't make any difference. I can say whatever I want to say on the way home, and I'm going to talk, and my kids are going to hear me, and my grandkids are going to hear me. Let me tell you, parents, you better be careful, because you got little ears that are listening to what you say, and you got little eyes that are listening to what you say. Are you hearing me? So be careful. Amen? All right, let's look at verse 1. Watch this. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. They're destructive. It's destructive for you to think that your actions aren't an indication of your heart. No, I don't think you should. I don't think you should talk about money. I'm just saying it's destructive for you to think that your actions, and you say, well, yeah, but that, you know, hey, how, just because I spend every single penny on me, that doesn't mean that I'm selfish. Come on, come on. Huh? It doesn't mean I'm selfish. See, you've disconnected the two. You think that your actions have nothing to do with your heart. And God says, no, contraire, my friend. See, you want to throw smoke in the room and say, no, pastor's a legalist. He's just being legal. God doesn't care what we do. God absolutely cares what you do, because your actions are an indication of your heart. Your actions as far as what you do with your finances, but your actions as far as what you do with your words. You think that you can just talk about anyone. You think you can talk about me. You think you can talk about my wife. And it don't make, and God's not, you think God can't hear what you say in your car? On the way home from church? You think he, what are you thinking? Here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, you're deceived to think that your words and your actions aren't connected, aren't an indication of something that's going on in your heart. Okay, can I show it to you in the Word? Who's still here? Amen. Who's still happy they're here? Amen. Okay, I'm just asking. Who's still happy there? Okay. But there are also false prophets among you, the people, even as there are false teachers among you who are secretly bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, who bought them, who what? Who, what? Bought. I know that. No, I'm just, okay. Who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. See, when you draw away from God, you're bringing on yourself. Don't blame God. God is the blesser. You draw away from God, you do whatever seems right in your own mind. You know what? Well, I'm just going to give, you know what, $18 every week. Well, I hope you are if you make $180 a week. Well, you mathematicians will get that in a minute. But I'm just going to give whatever seems, no, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm telling you what. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Watch this. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction has not slumbered. Watch this. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, keep it here, to be reserved for judgment. See, what's God saying? Guys, look at the angels as your example. You can't just do whatever you want and there not be consequences. Does this make sense? Watch this next verse. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turned to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward, everybody say afterward, would live, keep it here, ungodly. What's it saying? Here's what it's saying. That there's people who are living ungodly, that they can look at the example in the past and they can go, oh, I don't want to live a life of destruction. How many know we can do that? How many know we can be ungodly? And how many know God could be speaking to us today to say, no. Watch this. Next verse. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeking and healing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to deliver the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. How many know God knows how to do this? God could have, and I believe did, directed you into this place today. How many know the word of God can be your deliverance, you know what, over this junk? That today is the day of wholeness can come to you. And you can repent and you can say, man, I've been selfish. I've spent every penny on myself. That's just how I did. That's how I've done, rolled for a long time. I haven't taken my part in building the kingdom of God, and I've done it for a long time, but God has read my mail today. And you need to get together with your wife or wives. If your husband are doing that, you know what? We are a brother's keeper. You know what I mean? You need to get together with your husbands and you need to look them in the eye and say, hey, don't mean to say this to you, but you know, look your husband in the eye and say, dude, what are we doing? Some of you wives, you have no idea what's going on in the finances with your husband. And you know what? And I don't care if you don't pay the bills. I don't care if you don't pay the gas bill, electric bill. But you need to know. You need to make sure your family is a tithing family. Right. Amen. Amen? Amen? And vice versa. Well, you can't get out. I didn't know. My wife just took care of all the finances. I just didn't know, God. God's going to go, what's up? Amen? You could be being delivered right now. Now, am I talking about being selfish in your finance? Absolutely. But I'm also talking about what you say. Watch this. It's all here. You ready for this? Next verse. And especially those who walk according to their flesh in the lust of their uncleanliness. According to their flesh. What's that? All your money is spent on yourself. You know what? You go to the mall and you buy shoes. And you buy dresses, and then you go to, I'm a guy, I don't buy, shoes and dresses. Okay, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But maybe you go to Fry's, amen? And you buy flat screens, and you buy spinners for your car, and everything you spend is about yourself. And what does it have to do with? Here's what it has to do with. It has to do with this flesh of lust and uncleanliness. You thought, no, uncleanliness is talking about, looking at things that you shouldn't look at. No, let me tell you about uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is also about you not putting your trust in God. Amen. Watch this. Oh, and what do? Despise authority. Oh, let's say it together. They what? And you barely get even, you're not even to your car. Can you believe Pastor today? I mean, he just thought he was doing this, and then he did that, and he's saying about it, and he said, I'm selfish and everything, and then listen, and I bought 4 hot dogs to those kids the other day. I didn't even know those kids. Oh, wow, 4 hot dogs. Wow, $3.98. Whoa, aren't you the Rock of Gibraltar? Aren't you the example of building the kingdom of God? Amen? No, this is ridiculousness.
You know what? And we despise the authority. And listen, these authorities have been placed over us. Listen, what I'm here. You know what? I'm here to be a blessing to you. This is an awesome, you know what, testimony. This is an awesome, you know what, message for you to hear to say, gosh, you know what? I can put my trust in God. And watch this. They are presumptuous, self-willed. I'm going to do whatever I want. It's my money. I'm going to do whatever I want with my money. They're self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Can somebody say, wow? Now watch this. Next verse. Whereas angels who are greater in power, you know, some of these angels, man, I've made fun of this. You go to my house, my wife, for whatever reason, she has all kinds of these little angels around the house. You know what I mean? They're like these naked little babies, bare butts, with some, you know, little, you know, they're like, you know what I mean? Let me tell you what. You're like, you read your Bible, you ain't going to find no naked little baby angel. Amen? Hello? When you see an angel pop up, these angels are big and mighty, and it freaks people out. You know what I mean? Can you imagine seeing some being that is, you know what, 12 feet tall and just, whoa! Exactly. Let me tell you what, these angels are not, you know these little, you know what, But these angels who have a lot of power, watch this, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Who's them? The dignitaries. And I'm talking about anybody. Why? Because they're smart. Listen, I know this has been a poignant message, but what good is a church? What good is a pastor if he doesn't have the integrity to point out? And listen, did you see me saying, you know what, you did bad, you're okay, you're bad, you're okay, you're bad. Did you see doing that? See, I don't know. And maybe it's not you're bad, you're good, you're bad, you're good. Maybe it's you need to clean it up 30%. You need to clean it up 80%. You need to clean it up 40%. How many know that's probably more? I mean, not those percentages. But how many know that's more likely? Like, there's probably a more likelihood that there's probably no one that's hearing this message who can walk away and say, there's not a percentage that I need to up my game on. I heard one amen, thank you. How many, there's probably not one of us that don't need to hear this message at some point in time. But these angels, you know what, are smart. They don't even do that. And yet these other people think they just have no idea. Now, is this enough? Can I go a little deeper? I want to go deeper because the Bible goes deeper. Watch this. But these, like natural brute beasts. See, I heard one man say this. He said, if I could teach anything to the church, here's what it would be. Honor. See, we have taken the craziness of the world and we have allowed it to come into the church. So the pastor says something and we're like, go back to the verse before this. What was the word? Guys, go back to the verse before this, 11. Go back to the verse before that, 10. Self-willed. Where everything gets filtered through your will, and you make a choice whether you're going to do something or not, but it's not based on the word of God. It's based on, you know what,
what you think. And if anything, let me teach you this. The Word of God needs to be your final authority. Because let me tell you what, you can be deceived. You can, how many ever thought something was totally right? Like, no, I know it. And then all of a sudden, you're completely wrong. Anybody who's married, have you experienced this? You're like, I know it. And then somebody comes in, and you're like, oh, I was wrong. See, we've all experienced that. Can I tell you, as far as what is right and what's wrong to do with your money, with your relationships, with your mouth, how many know we can justify anything? But let God be true and every man a liar. All I'm saying, and this, believe it or not, this is a wonderful message of hope. Here's why. Because if we will exalt God and be obedient to only say what he says, if we will stop speaking trash about big dignitaries, you say, well, yeah, but I don't like this political person. I don't like our governor. I don't like our senator. I don't like our president. I don't like, and we can go on and on and on. Well, listen, how many know there's presidents that I'm like you. There's presidents that I'll like more than other presidents. Amen? Can you say amen to this? Amen. But here's what I need to do. I need to make sure even the ones that I don't think are directing the country godly like they should, I still need to make sure that I'm praying for them and not speaking a bunch of trash about them. When you're in a ditch, do you like somebody to come by and throw more dirt on that ditch? Or would you like somebody to pick you up and pull you out? And maybe those political leaders, maybe they're not as spiritual as you. But if you're spiritual, why don't you use your spirituality to help pull them out? How many know there's power in your words? Yeah, but he's talking like, whoa, I know. There's a lot of them that say all kinds of goofy things. And some of the policies are pretty goofy. I'm not talking about anyone particular. Let me be clear on this. Don't think, oh, I know who you're talking about. Trust me, no, you don't. Because I'm not talking about any person. I'm talking about us lifting up our president and lifting up our vice president and lifting up our Congress and lifting up our Senate and lifting up, we need to lift up our people in authority over us. And the main person that you need to lift up is Tamara and myself. Can you say amen? And I'll tell you right up front, we are far from perfect. But I tell you what, we love you. And we're going to tell you the truth. And I'm smiling, right? And I don't even care if you don't like it. I'm just asking. You judge it. You got a parent who will only give a child what they want. Oh, candy? Here you go. Oh, cupcakes? Here you go. Oh, you want to smoke marijuana? Here you go. Hello, somebody. Oh, you want to sleep with your girlfriend? Sure. Just don't get her pregnant. Craziness. Is that a good parent or is that a bad parent? Okay. You got a pastor who loves you enough. How many know we could do a sermon by survey. And everybody tell me what you think about your finances. Everybody tell me what, and then I'll just regurgitate whatever you say. How many know that's not a message you want to hear? How many want to hear the truth today? And here's the million-dollar question. How many will allow the truth to judge your heart, and you'll have the integrity to make the correction and judge your heart by your actions? Because that person is a person. Listen to me. That person is a person who is drawing close to God. And let me tell you about that person. That person is going to be blessed. Don't kung fu grip your selfishness. Don't kung fu grip your perverse mouth. And if you got to get in front of your kids and say, hey, listen, we have talked about the president. You know what? You've heard mom and dad talk about the president. You've heard mom and dad talk about the governor. You've heard mom and dad talk about, you know what, pastor's wife and pastor and pastor's kids. And you've heard us do that. And you know what? The Holy Spirit convicted us today. The Holy Spirit read our mail today. And we want to apologize for it. And we want to confess to you that that will not happen anymore in our house. It won't happen in our house. It won't happen in the car driving home. It just ain't going to happen. We recognize, let me tell you what, that is a family who's going to start walking in the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. And you can kung fu grip it all you want. You can throw it at me and say, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can blame me for being, you know, materialistic. And I just say, hey, listen, I love you, but I don't sweat you. I love you, but I don't sweat you. For those of you who are born in 90 and above and you don't know what that means, just look it up on the internet, okay? Okay. Did you learn something today? Okay. Okay. How many still love your pastor? How many still love your pastor? I want to pray with them before we're done, but go.
Oh, just.
Yeah, go, baby.
Okay. All right. You confused me. Sorry. Pastor said right at the beginning, he said that we're putting something or someone before God. You guys remember that? You know who usually is the someone who comes before God? Ourself. And we kind of don't count that. Like when we take inventory, let's see, am I doing that? We don't even consider ourselves. We just automatically go, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, nope, I make sure, yep. But somehow we usually miss the inventory that we look at ourselves, what we want. I wanna give you just a couple of scriptures that Jesus said. He said, when they asked him about the commandments, he said, to love God. And then the second thing he said is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. God gets how into us that we are. You think that's an accident that he put that there? No, he made a standard even out of it for you to act. Because we, with no help at all, are all about ourselves. With no help at all. It's very natural for us to do that. But it's supernatural for us to do the opposite of that. To make sure that we put someone else, and he made the standard out of it. Be sure that you're treating Joanne the way you treat yourself. And you know why God knows that? Because he knows we're all into us. I want to show you just some things that happened in the Word of God that you'll see this just now. These are just a few that just came to my mind as I was sitting there, you know what, hearing what the Lord was saying. Cain and Abel. He was so jealous, you know what, that he comes against his brother because he's all into who? Himself. Eve against God. In the garden, she so quickly went for the fruit. As soon as it was pointed out to her, God's trying to withhold something from you. See, she was concerned that she, self, was going to miss out on something. And she moved. Let's take it the next step. Then Adam, God comes along and he's talking to him. And Adam, I mean, quickly, boom, just like that. It's that woman. I mean, he just turns on his wife like that. It was her. And then he turns on God too, that you gave me. And who was that about? Self. This one's crazy, but nonetheless, here it is. What about Abraham? Here, ladies, if you ever need encouragement, this will help you right here. What about Abraham? Abraham, God is moving out. God talks about all he's going to do, makes all these promises to him. And he's coming in to Egypt, and he turns to his wife. You think you got it bad? And he tells her, listen, remember, the Bible tells us how beautiful she was. And he's like, soon as they see you, they're going to want you for the Pharaoh. And if they know that you're my wife, then they're going to kill me. So do me a big favor. Just say you're my sister so that they won't kill me and everything will go good with me. Okay? What's he doing there with his wife? Like, we see that, but you just gave your wife to the Pharaoh. You just like rolled her right up under the bus. You just go and let the Pharaoh just take you as one of his harem. Why? So that everything will go good with me. So that I'm safe. Wow. Here's the part that'll encourage you, ladies. That was not encouraging, was it? That a man's going to roll you up under the bus like that. No. But here's what's encouraging. Did Pharaoh ever sleep with Sarah? Who stepped in on Sarah's behalf in spite of what her husband did to her and the way that her husband treated her? Who was right there and had her back? You got it. And he'll always have your back. We sometimes miss how much God is about us. That's another thing. You wanna see the opposite of the way that these people are acting? The opposite of how we have a tendency, women have a tendency to just naturally roll selfishly. God is 200% opposite. And he's opposite about you with that. And that's just awesome. You know what? That we, if we understood how awesome he was to us, if we meditated on that a bit more, instead of meditating on what we're missing, what we don't want, what we don't like, what we don't have, right? If we'd meditate a lot, that we get in a lot of trouble that way. If we'd be so much not about self, we'd be way closer to God. Because when we begin to focus on ourselves, what are the two things that the Lord told us? You know what? Jesus, when they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? It's interesting because he said the most important thing is love God and love others. And if you do that, everything's going to come together. But we see that we got to be on point to do that, don't we? When we don't do that, when we're thinking about self, when we don't take those two things that the Lord said and fulfill one and two, when we don't do that, we're headed for a heap of trouble. Because we start getting focused on self. And as soon as we focus on self, we're all off the only things that God said is the most important thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. We're supposed to be focusing on that, and when we focus on that, God says, he's got us. Everything's going to be okay. Last scripture I want to share with you just is when he said, you know what, these people worship me, and it's a problem because when we're focusing on self, remember, we're moving away from the one and the two that he said was the most important. Do this and you'll fulfill everything. It just comes automatic. That's why he puts it out there for us to make sure that we're not about ourselves. But in Matthew 15:8, he said, with their lips, they honor me, but their heart is far from me. we just so easily get off and away from God when we make things about us. And it's very natural for us to make it about us. And it's supernatural when we submit that natural will to the Word of God and do it God's way. Amen? Amen. I'm going to let you come and just lead us in prayer.
Ah, you look nice today.
Thank you.
If
you know why we have those baby cherubs?
No, I have no idea.
The reason why we have the little baby cherubs everywhere is because I can't put 20-foot statues everywhere. There'd be no room for you. You ought to be glad about those baby cherubs. There'd be no room for you.
Yeah. And then...
Now we know.
Right. You know why else we have those... You know why else we have those baby cherubs? So when I kick those and the head falls off, it just takes little, a little glue stick to glue it back on. If we had one of those big ones, we'd have to like put cement on it to glue it on. I didn't do that, but I've done it. I've broken their wings off and stuff.
I came home the other day and one of my little baby cherubs, the head was like laying over there like that. I said, "Who did that?" I thought I found the culprit right now.
You didn't find the culprit, but I gotta say, I wasn't very sad when I saw it like that. I found it a little funny, actually. But.
He's violating number two right there.
Uh-oh.
Violation, you can repent right before.
Yeah, let's all repent right now, okay? Actually, to be serious, if something said spoke to you, if you feel like, you know what, I really need, and listen, this takes a lot of integrity, especially if you're going to get your kids, and I'm not saying you have to do that, but it... Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But you might want to do that. But definitely grab your husband or wife if you need to do that and make a change. You know what I mean? It's problematic if we just came to church to hear a message to build us up. Because many times the message that we hear in church is the message that God wants us to change. So if that's you, and I'm not judging you, I'm not, ooh, I wonder what they did. It's so... I really don't care. You say, well, why do you have us put our hands up? Here's why. Because I want you to make I want you to draw a line in the sand. I want you to confess and go, you know what? Yes, this is me. God spoke to me today. And I need to acknowledge that. And it's not between really you and anybody except you and God. But there's something very powerful about you saying, yes, that was me. I've done wrong. I need to make a correction. So without any judgment, there's no condemnation for Christ Jesus. God doesn't spend a lot of time on spilled milk. But he does want to clean it up. Because we've got to move on. Does that make sense? So if that is you, just raise up your hands. And it don't make any difference who's got their hand up and who doesn't. Except if the Holy Spirit is asking you to. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you say, man, I got to get my hand up here. No. Father, you see our hands that are up. And Father, there's no condemnation, but you have us here to change us, to teach us. So to whatever you're saying to us, whether it's financially, whether it's with our mouth, or maybe it's another area that we need a correction in today, that you spoke to us privately about, we ask for your forgiveness. We recognize, some may say, I've done wrong. And I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you, God. I've got a word for somebody. God says, remember, I'm quick to forgive you because of what my son's already done. I've already provided forgiveness. Forgiveness is already there. It's the blood of Jesus. I was the one who sent my son. So, Father, we thank you that you forgive us so quickly. Help us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to now walk out this correction in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.